Hey, Canada, it's Leslie Roberts filling in today for Evan Solomon. He's leading the coverage 6 hours on TV, CTV News Channel. Of course, the throne speech is underway. You'll get great analysis as per usual throughout the day. Evan Solomon leading today, hence me being here. It's great to be here. Excited to fill in. Right now, I want to revisit a story that's developing, but a new twist with what's happening on the latest on the building of the natural gas pipeline out in BC on Wet'suwet'en Nation territory. We know where they stand on it. There have been some blockades and so on, but now some journalists are making headlines and documentary filmmakers because they have been arrested. In fact, our next guest is a documentary filmmaker just released after being arrested by the RCMP, and he was just covering it to document it for a film writing. His name is Michael Taldano. 4 days ago, I was arrested at gunpoint for filming RCMP tactical teams as they pointed guns to remove Wet'suwet'en people from their lands. He goes on to say, my arrest and incarceration were punitive and a blatant attempt to repress images of police violence against Indigenous people in Canada. Michael Taldano, welcome to the Evan Solomon Show. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Leslie, for having me.
What was it like, first and foremost? We'll get to the bigger issue in a second. Talk about those 4 days.
Well, we were held in holding cells, which are, concrete cells. Lights were on 24 hours. We were fed minimally, and we were, I was denied the right to have follow-up phone calls with my lawyer. I asked, over the course of 30 hours, we were denied soap and treated very poorly throughout. And the reality is that myself and Amber Bracken, who is another journalist I was arrested with, would have been happy on site to sign the conditions of release that we ended up getting. It was entirely punitive to hold us in jail for 4 days. And, it seems to me to be a deliberate attempt to censor or repress the images of violence that we captured.
Talk about that. What did you capture on there that you want people to see?
Well, RCMP tactical teams entered into a Wet'suwet'en home with axes and with a chainsaw to saw down the door. And once the door was removed, they were pointing guns at a group of Indigenous land defenders and right at us. They had dog teams assembled outside. It was an incredibly large-scale militarized operation. I would say there were about 20 RCMP carrying assault weapons in full military fatigues, military helmets, and military gear. And, they were there to violently remove Chief Slato from her home.
Why did they target her?
Well, the home was adjacent to a Coastal GasLink work site, but she's also been the spokesperson of the Gidimnan checkpoint.
And calling the shots, I would imagine, the blockade that was unfolding. Is that a fair statement?
She's a highly visible spokesperson for Indigenous sovereignty and Indigenous rights in Canada. And so she's currently in jail. I'm actually sitting outside of the courthouse right now. She's currently in jail, and she's awaiting her chance to appear before the judge. My understanding is that there are punitive conditions that have been proposed for her conditions of release, which would stop her from accessing her family home, which is on Wet'suwet'en territory.
Why being held? What is she being charged with?
Civil breach of the injunction, which is a civil charge.
Right.
I think it has a maximum sentence of 14 days in jail. I myself served without a trial 4 of those days, and as did Amber Bracken. And so it's a civil charge of breach of the injunction.
RCMP say they were just enforcing the court-granted injunction given to Coastal GasLink, which is the builder of the natural gas pipeline in northwest BC. So they were just following basically orders from the court. What do you say?
I think the RCMP has a lot of operational discretion. They can, go in different ways. And, it's one thing to rain down military men from the sky and point assault rifles at unarmed people. It's another thing to, repress journalism and to arrest journalists, remove them from the scene, or, set up an exclusion zone, tell them they have to stay 35 kilometers away from the action that they're trying to photograph and the story that they're trying to tell.
Were you making them aware that you and, I guess, Amber as well, that both of you were doing exactly that? You were journalists?
Both of us, my production company and Amber's editors, I'm aware, have sent letters to RCMP in advance letting them know where we were.
Yeah.
And so they had no excuse. And the other aspect of it is, you know, I've been covering this story. This is my third time going through a militarized raid on Wet'suwet'en territory. And, you know, every single time the efforts to repress journalism are the same. An exclusion zone is set up. Mainstream media reporters who haven't devoted adequate resources to covering the story, who are coming in late, end up on the opposite side. They get images of police trucks and they have no idea what's happening up the road. And anyone who has, you know, proactively gone in there and tried to cover the story is either detained or arrested or held at gunpoint. Jerome Turner last year, a Gixan journalist, was held at gunpoint by the RCMP and, you know, was recognized for by the CAJ for his advocacy for journalists' rights.
Yeah, the CAJ, Canadian Association of Journalists, I mean, the fight for free press is everyone in the media is behind you when it comes to journalism. That's not the issue. Do you think you were targeted because you were on the inside, so to speak, versus the others?
Well, the RCMP have been targeting me regardless of where I was.
Why?
I have obtained freedom of information requests, you know, responses from the government. I submitted a request in 2015 and I got it back last year. So it was a really arduous and cumbersome process. But at the end of the day, there's hundreds of pages of surveillance documentation where my vehicle drives, where I go, you know, like things like that, that, you know, to me convey a pretty direct, you know, targeting. I also have had interactions with different individual police officers where they've called me by name but refused to identify themselves or even to identify themselves as police. And the only thing that identifies them as police is where the fact that they're wearing a pistol. You know, that officer in particular, I've had multiple interactions with him. He denied me access to another arrest of another hereditary chief who led a campaign in Lhkpamisu territory. And so, you know, these people know me by name, and I've been interacting with them for years while covering the story.
Okay, that explains it here. That being said, do you see an end in sight, or will there be some sort of a compromise or a settlement, or is this going to be inflamed as we go further down the road?
Well, the only resolution to this issue is to recognize the free, prior, and informed consent of Indigenous people and to actually come to the table and have a discussion. The Wet'suwet'en have been in rights and title negotiations with the province for years now, and those have been fruitless.
Yeah.
And the at the end of the day, the government knows, like, you know, Nathan Cullen, who is an MP in this area, said in a meeting with Chief Wass that, you know, the government messed up and didn't undertake serious consultation on this project with the Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs.
I got 30 seconds left. When is your film coming out? Do you have any idea at this point?
It'll be airing on CBC Docs, Passionate Eye, next year.
Michael Toledano, documentary filmmaker. Stay safe. Appreciate the update. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.